This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Looking forward to hearing from you. I certainly am. Our phone lines are open and ready for you. We've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the number for you to use. Yes, it is. It's the number for you to use. To join us live here on Women of Grace Live if you're in North America. Now, if you're outside of North America, we do have a number for you, and let me give you that number. It begins with country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 2985. As I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. We certainly do. I always love chit-chatting with you. You can count on that. So please do give us a call today. You were very quiet yesterday. I have to say, you were very quiet, which was kind of nice, I suppose, in a certain way. It gave me an opportunity to talk with you about suffering and about why it is that God permits suffering and how we can use suffering to our greatest advantage, which almost sounds like an oxymoron, but in fact, in the spiritual life, it is not, because the cross will always be with us. So we did chit-chat about that yesterday. If you have any comments on that, or if you would like to ask me a question regarding it, I am here. I would be delighted in every single way to chit-chat with you about that today. Additionally, though, however, we want for you to give us a call about anything else that's on your mind today. That number, once again, toll-free in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 1-833-288-EWTN. Outside of North America, once more, country code 1-205-271-2985. I am likely to repeat those numbers at various points throughout the course of the show. So if you didn't get them, well then, just stay listening and you'll get it very shortly. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The out there, of course, is in social media land. So you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, and you can use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will be happy to retrieve it, extremely happy to respond to your question or comment right here on the air today. Another way that you can reach us is by text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved. All of the retrieving today being done by Pedro Quiles, answering the phones, Matthew Gobensky. First time caller, first time submitter. I want to know, because I have this little brass bell here, and nothing brings me more joy during the course of the program other than hearing from you, which is my primary joy. But if you're a first time caller, I just get a big old kick out of ringing that bell to welcome you. So I invite you to be with us. So I want to tell you, yesterday I went to noon mass at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church here in Hoover, Alabama, which is really like outside of Birmingham. All of that being said, we heard a really beautiful, beautiful homily, and I never quite heard an explanation like he gave us. And so we're back in ordinary time, and as Father explained to us yesterday, actually Archbishop explained to us yesterday, the fact of the matter is that, we have special seasons, liturgical seasons in the church. We really have four of them. We have Advent, which is followed by the Christmas season. We have Lent, which is followed by the Easter season. And then outside of that, it's ordinary time. But just because it says ordinary doesn't mean that anything there is ordinary. Everything with regard to our faith is extraordinary. Because why? Our world, our life, our very being certainly our faith, is infused by God himself, right? It's infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. So that makes everything extraordinary, but we call it ordinary time simply because it's outside of one of those, liturgical seasons that I just mentioned to you a moment ago. And we're in the Gospel of Mark, and he really encouraged us, to read the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. We can get through it very quickly. If you read a chapter a day, you're going to get through it in about 2 weeks. But here he began, and the Gospel yesterday was about the calling of the apostles. And so Jesus is beginning his public ministry, and he's gathering this little group around himself. And he shared with us about the call of Peter and his brother Andrew, and then he contrasted that with the call of John and James. And, he emphasized some points that I think is well worth emphasizing. And I've been thinking a whole lot, we're involved, Women of Grace, in Catholic women's leadership in a formal way through our Benedicta Institute, where women can acquire a certification in Catholic women's leadership through the Benedicta Institute. And I've been sharing with you about our upcoming our winter immersive that's going to be happening at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center, located in North Palm Beach, Florida, in February. It's February 3rd through the 9th. What a beautiful place it is. Oh my goodness. It's magnificent in every way. It sits right there on the Atlantic Ocean, the scenery, and just so conducive to prayer and to study, which basically form that two of the legs of that tripod that our faith should rest upon. So it's prayer, study, and recreation, if you want to know what the third one is, because we have to recreate, right? We've got to refresh ourselves. So anyway, not to digress too far, the fact of the matter is, because of the upcoming Benedicta and because of some of the other situations and speaking engagements on my agenda, I've been thinking a lot about Catholic leadership. And I'm always thinking about it. We do have a philosophy of that at the Benedicta. But that being said, so my ears perked up when he started talking about, our Lord was calling the apostles. That's Archbishop yesterday in his homily. And we're called, each one of us, by virtue of our baptism, just if you were wondering, each one of us, by virtue of our baptism, is called to leadership, right? We are called to be stewards of souls. That's implicit in our baptism. We're grafted into the life of God, right? We're grafted into the family of God. We're grafted into the family of the church that Jesus Christ founded. And the church, this bride of Christ, exists to evangelize. So you and I, we are called to be stewards of souls. You and I are called to be leaders, bringing people to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life in every way. Oh my goodness, it's not time for that music. I guess it is time for that music. I've chatted my way through this first segment and haven't even gotten to the meat of my conversation with you this morning. But all of that being said, when we're going to this break, why not think about that for a moment? Think about that, the fact that you have been called to be a leader among souls, right? A steward of souls, one who brings them to the truth and then nourishes them in the truth. We're going to talk more a little bit about that on the other side of the break, but I want to hear from you today. I do, 833-288-EWTN. You might even be thinking about moments when the Lord has inserted you into certain situations and lives of people so that you could exercise that great responsibility. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. So very happy to be with you today. I always am. You know that. I look forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Encouraging you to call right away. Don't delay. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about today, but I am talking talking a little bit about yesterday's gospel reading at Mass, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I do want to let you know that we're available for you if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. But this number, 833-288-EWTN, is a toll-free number for you if you are here in North America. Also available to you via text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. And of course, don't forget to put your question or comment in there. And we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. And we have got Matthew Gobensky answering the phones today. He wants to talk to you too. We're going to be taking these calls, and I am, I'm not quite certain what I'm being told here, but we're going to wait for a moment. I do believe that we've got a caller calling in right now, and we'll get to that caller as soon as everything is ready to go. Prior to that, though, let's get back to what I was talking about yesterday. So I was telling you about the gospel reading from Mass yesterday, and I have it up, so I thought I'd read it to you. It's very short, but we're talking about Jesus beginning his public ministry and, you know, forming around himself a band, you know, of men. And so this is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John had been arrested, that's, of course, John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying. That is what he's proclaiming. Now, St. Mark writes, as he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. That's it. That's it. So you might say, yeah, we know that story. But this is what the Archbishop brought out, which I just thought was wonderful. He brought out the fact of the call of Jesus. Now, he comes upon Simon and Andrew, and they're casting their nets into the sea. They're busy in their labor, aren't they? They're involved in the enterprise of life. They have cast their nets into the sea, hoping to catch fish. And Jesus looks at that and says, no, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then what do we hear next? Then they left their nets and followed him. Archbishop made the point that they immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. He underlined and underscored Jesus didn't tell him who he was. They didn't ask Jesus who he was. There was no qualification for Jesus. Presumably, they didn't know who Jesus was. He had just come along and said, follow me. And they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Now, Archbishop didn't say this, but I'm sitting there listening to the homily and I'm thinking, well, it had to be through some kind of you know, movement of grace that took place in Peter and who was then called Simon and Andrew's heart. But the point that Archbishop was making was they immediately dropped their nets. They left everything and followed the call to follow Jesus. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know where he was going. They didn't know what he was about. But they received it and they acted on it immediately. It doesn't say that they did anything except leaving their nets, leaving their boat, you know, hanging out in the water, bobbing along there, and they followed after Jesus. And then St. Mark tells us about the call of James and John. He says he walked along a little farther. Presumably now we've got Simon and Andrew following in Jesus' footsteps there. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. And he said, well, you know, it doesn't say that Simon and Andrew, this is what Archbishop said, they just left the boat. They left their nets. But now the ante is up a little bit here. Because James and John are going to leave their father. It's as if they're, you know, in some way walking away from their birthright, right? They're walking away from their inheritance, from what is theirs, coming by way of their father. That's just my little addition here as I'm thinking it through again. But again, Archbishop emphasized they immediately left. And I was struck by that. I was struck by that because we knew that these men were then going to be leading the church that Jesus Christ founded. Right? That their inheritance was going to be one that was coming to them from heaven. And it would be an entirely different inheritance, an entirely different enterprise of life. It would be taking them into places unknown, territories unfamiliar, among people that were very different. And ultimately, they would lose their lives. They too would sacrifice their very life's blood for the sake of the message they were preaching. And that's leadership. That's leadership. It's hearing the call, responding to the call without necessary concern of where that call is going to lead you, and being willing to invest everything in it. Everything in it. We learn, of course, in Scripture that part of the everything was that, you know, presumably, you know, Simon, whose name would be changed to Peter, left his wife, right? I'm sure that he stopped by from time to time. I don't know how that worked out. We don't get too much in there in Scripture. But, you know, this call that is ours by virtue of our baptism asks for a full investment, a full investment. And, of course, it's governed by our state in life. Some are called to priesthood, some to married life, some to remain in a single state, some to religious life. But it requires a full-hearted consent to wherever it is that God is leading us and guiding us, without a regard for how it's going to affect us, or what the future with regard to it is going to hold. It requires too a trust. And that's immediately seen in these first four that are called. There's a trust in the one who issues the call. It's trust. And it's also a stepping away from the world's values into the values of God himself, into the eternal values, a divestiture. They divested themselves of their fishing enterprises. In the case of John and James, they divested themselves of what their inheritance would be, which might have been sizable. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know how well Zebedee did in his business, but it was certain to be John's and James. They were already actively engaged. And apparently it was a rather prosperous business because they had hired hands as well. We don't hear that about Simon and Andrew, but we do hear it. Small detail, but nonetheless, every detail in sacred scripture is important. They're not, oh, by the way, moments. None of it. Not an, oh, by the way, word. So, you know, that led me to an examination of conscience, right? You know, where am I in my own walk with the Lord? Am I willing to continue to leave it all? You know, and by that I mean, you know, that there's many leavings when you're involved in apostolic life. There's many leavings. But, you know, to what extent does that detachment, that spirit of detachment continue? I'm kind of reasoning it out with you as I'm talking with you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Maybe some of this has struck you in a unique way. I have no idea, but I would like to know. I surely would. So call us and share with us. Let us hear from you. We do want to hear from you. And we do want to know how any of of this sits with you, but we'll talk about anything of importance to you. That toll-free number for you here in North America, once again, is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Available for you, too, out there in social media land, inviting you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. I'm there for you, waving at you. Yes, I am. We want to know if you're a first-timer either way, because I will ring my little bell to welcome you. So we certainly do look forward to hearing from you today. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. And it's an interesting thing when we think about this call of the Lord. We don't necessarily always look at ourselves as being evangelists, but we are. We are evangelists. We're called to always be living the gospel. So we are always called to evangelize by the witness of our life, by our own example. You know, and I don't know about you, but I can think of so many times I've fallen short in that regard and, you know, have begged forgiveness from the Lord that I didn't set the best example in a given situation or circumstance, right? And maybe you have that same lament of heart that I have. But nonetheless, that is the call. But we're also called to proclaim the gospel through words, through what we say. You know, we're called to profess and proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ in season and out of season. And that's not always easy. And sometimes it costs us right on the spot because we lose. We lose friends. We give up friendships for the sake of the gospel. We give up family relationships sometimes for the sake of the gospel because we speak truth. We have to speak it tenderly. We have to speak it with love, but we have to speak it unequivocally. And sometimes we don't want to do that because it's hard. It's really hard from time to time. I can say that the more we do it, the easier it gets. But in that moment, we're always tempted, or at least I am. I don't know about you, but I am tempted to keep my mouth shut, you know, because I don't seek to offend people. It's not the way I start my day. Oh, how many people can I offend today? That's not the first thing in my mind. And people do take offense, even when it's well meant, you know, the intention is honorable and the tone is loving and, you know, the phraseology is kind. Sometimes they get offended because we live in this time of relativism that says that everything is okay, right? That everything's just fine and dandy. You know, there's no moral truth. There's no objective reality. There's no right or no wrong. It's right or wrong according to your own specifications of what right or wrong should be. And then who knows what is right or wrong? And who knows what your right is and my wrong is? And who knows what, you know, you can say that it's ridiculous. Nobody can live like that. We can't build a society on it. That's why our society has gone mad. Has gone mad, right? Because nobody knows anymore about anything, but we do know about everything. We just don't want to accept it because it's inconvenient. It calls us into accountability and our actions into accountability and to an examination of conscience. And we don't like that. We don't like that. We've got to toughen up. That's all I got to say. We've got to toughen up. You cannot be a good Christian and not be tough. And by tough, I don't mean, you know, tough. You know, blah, 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 blah. I don't mean tough that way. I mean, you know, we have to be tough in the sense of being brutally honest with ourselves, right? And kindly truthful with others. You know, we have to be brutal with ourselves because too often we rationalize things away or we make a path somehow inside for what it is that we want to do. And we, you know, just... we go easy on ourselves, as the saying goes. No. We can't go easy on ourselves. With ourselves, we have to be brutally honest. With others, we have to be straightforward and honest, but kind and considerate. We have Ruth with us. Ruth is in Pennsylvania, listening to us via YouTube. How are you, Ruth? Hey, Ruth, you're on the air, darling.
Well, hello there. How are you? Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, too. Everything going okay with you?
Yeah, everything's doing, I'm doing well. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I am taking some steps around the house without using my walker and just.
Good.
Yeah. So thanks again.
And thank you for your lovely Christmas card, Ruth.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was just beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. I'm glad that you got it.
Yes, I did.
I wanted to talk about, you're talking about the apostles being called.
Yes.
And I would like to talk about the young rich man. Okay, the young rich man, he's obeying, he's doing everything. He says, what do I have to do? And he goes away sad because he's attached to his things, his comforts, all that. And in our society, we are so attached to these things. I mean, we are. And the thing is, we're not all called to be apostles, but we're all called to be disciples. And disciples have a certain, it's just different when you think of it as a disciple. It just got more meaning because the disciples were so close to Jesus, right? We think of Mary Magdalene, for instance. She's a woman. She's not a priest. People don't understand. There's place for women in the church. It's just not a priestly one. And there's real things that need to be done, especially as we know in this day, by women for the family. And first we do our family, and then we do everyone God puts in front of us. And for me, I'm trying, I mean, it's not easy, but to live more of a life of holy simplicity, life of just, you know, we've gotten rid of some things. I've had other people help me. I couldn't do this on my own, but slowly detaching myself from things I don't need. And that is in the sense of leadership by example.
Yes. Yeah. You hold on there with us, Ruth. You hear that music. We're going to a break here. And this is a break that I can't, you know, kind of like, fudge on. It's a hard break. We're going to be back, friends, on the other side of this break. Looking forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call, just like Ruth did. Lines are open for you. Matthew Gubensky answering them. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you, too. Use the chat feature. Pedro Quiles will retrieve your question and get it up. Coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, eager to hear from you today. Let me give you that toll-free number to use if you're in North America. It is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. EWTN. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. In addition to that, we invite you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Chat feature there for you is the opportunity that you have to leave your question or comment for us. Do tell us who you are and where you are and how you're listening. You might not be listening to us via YouTube. That sometimes is the case. All that being said, however, we will get it collected and put up on the board, and I'll be able to address what's going on in your world. In addition to that, we want you to know that you can also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, and then tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Do know that data and message rates may apply if you choose to text your question or comment to us. Matthew Gubensky answering those phones today. Do want to remind you about our upcoming Winter Immersive at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center, located in North Palm Beach, Florida. Looking forward to seeing you there. We have numbers of ladies that have signed up. We're very excited about it. Our teacher is our academic advisor, Dr. Donald Wallenfang. We're going to be talking about our Blessed Lady. It is the required course in the one of the four themes that comprise this effort of moving forward in a certification of Catholic women's leadership. It is in the Mariology and Feminine Genius bucket. We're going to be talking about our Blessed Mother in Scripture and in devotion, but also in some of the insights of contemporary authors. We'll be looking at Carol Hauslander, Edward Serrie, and Dr. Brant Petrie. So I'm inviting you to join us for this. All of the information is available for you at our website. You can read about it. You can register there, but you can call us with any questions that you might have. Let me give you our toll-free number. It's 800-558-5452. That's the toll-free number for Women of Grace, our apostolate. 800-558-5452. Just give us a call there. Looking forward to it. So, Ruth, you were talking about detaching, and you were talking about the fact that you have been kind of going through your own life and you know, detaching from some of the things that you have. And you know, that's a really good thing to do. I cleaned out a drawer the other day. It's one drawer. But it was a start to declutter some of the drawers.
Oh no, my children helped me. They got a whole gang of people last year, and they got a whole I've got one of those big things outside that you they come and take away.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. One of those great big garbage containers.
Yeah,
dumpster.
Yeah,
a dumpster.
They cleaned out the whole basement for me. So yeah, I mean, over years we've been here since 1989, so it's a lot of stuff we had to get rid of in our basement, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, why keep it? It just, I don't know, it just, the more things are less, it's easier. And I am like you. I like, yeah, I have a lot of books, so that's hard.
Well, the books, yeah, that is another matter. I have gotten to the point, though, where I don't have too much trouble passing books along. And the reason for that is that I get books all of the time here because, you know, of what I do. I'm interviewing people on their books and inviting guests to our program who have written books. And, of course, I want to read their book, so I read their book before I interview them. But then, you know, a lot of the publishers will send me their books, too, because they're hoping that, you know, we will interview their author. So I get a lot of books and I can't keep all of them. Some of them I do keep, but some of them, you know, just don't fit our program or whatever the case is. And I will pass those along. So, you know, I've gotten to the point where I can part with, you know, certain books, but then there are some books I don't want to part with. And I've actually said to Jack, you know, if I predecease you, I don't want you getting rid of these books, you know, because these books are valuable. You pass them along to somebody. Don't just toss Aww. These books out, because a lot of them are rather rare books right now, theological books that are, you know, you can't find them anymore. And they're noteworthy. So anyway, I don't know that I'd call them rare books, but I think that they're pretty rare because they're hard to find. So I don't have trouble with that. I have trouble with other things, though. You know, I have trouble with other things. And I think that we all have those things that we cling to. But, you know, to follow Jesus, to follow him honestly, we can't have anything that's holding us back. I think of what John of the Cross says, you know, the thinnest thread tied to the leg of a bird will hold it back from soaring to the heights, even though if the bird took off, that thread would snap because it's so thin, right? But we get held back, right? It's a beautiful, I think, metaphor, a beautiful analogy. So, well, I appreciate your insights and your thoughts about detachment. I'm going to take that as a personal message to me from the Lord. So we'll see.
We're in it together, Joe.
Yes, we are. Well, I think we're in it with a whole. Okay, sweetie. I think we're in the same soup as a lot of other people. So we can all pray for each other. That much we can do too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ruth, for your call today. So appreciate you. I look forward to seeing you hopefully sometime in the not too distant future.
Yeah, me too. Take care now. Love you.
Yeah, okay. God bless you, sweetie. Yeah, you know, that's the truth. You know, we can be held back and we don't know. And it's like, oh, geez. So often I sit here behind this microphone and I'm really talking out loud to myself. Let's go to Penny. Penny is in Middletown, New Jersey, and she is listening to us via domestic church media. So happy to have Penny with us. Good morning, Penny.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
But I think I have to turn down my phone volume, right?
Like if you're listening to us on the radio, I would turn that down. Your phone volume's not a problem.
Oh, okay. I don't have a radio going. Okay. I'm caught here. I'm caught between the flag of America, which is opposite of the will of God. Okay, but we have to go along with it because it's the flag. And then there's the other side, which I want you to tell me about.
Okay.
It's this AI a psychic connection that is, and I kind of like dabbled in it, and I really don't find it glorifying, probably. I mean, God is the one that we turn to. And he has the final word in everything. And he even controls what they put on the boob tube. But I need a confirmation as to why those people, the psychics, why is it wrong? I know it's wrong, but I'm just getting pulled into it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about this. First of all, you know, let me comment on the idea of the flag. I don't quite know what you mean by that. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us.
Yeah, I don't think you do, but I'm going to tell you what I mean. There's
a
great difference between what the country makes as a law. We talked about abortion. Okay. But abortion is really, really wrong.
Yes,
so
it is.
We live in a world where the wrong things are made right. But that's not what I want to talk about, because I am a Christian.
Okay.
So things will always be wrong.
That's right. That's right. So let's just talk about this for a second. And then I want to move into your question about the psychics. But so, you know, we are called, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that we are called to be good citizens. Now, it also says, you know, Jesus says, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. So, you know, to be supportive of a country when that country is in concert with what we know to be good, true, and beautiful, what we know to be, you know, in accordance with the laws of God, that's a good thing. You are right. When the country takes a stand against those principles that are given to us in sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, then we have got to work to change that. So you use, you know, probably the best illustration and the best example that we have, and that is abortion. So we know that abortion is absolutely wrong. There is no time when abortion is permissible. There is no exception that is truly an exception to something that is morally morally wrong. So we don't make an excuse. You know, some people will say, yes, except in the case of rape and incest. No, it never is abortion the right path to take. Why is that? Because every human person that's ever been conceived and will ever be conceived is conceived by the will of God and in the image and likeness of God. So we are destroying another human person who has an immortal soul. And so that's the fact of the matter. Now, it is regrettable. It is absolutely horrific when children are conceived in ways that are vile. And we know that rape is vile. It's a violent action. We also know that incest is vile. It, too, is a violent action. We look at that and we look at those realities and we say rape is always wrong. Incest is always wrong. We make that statement. But a child that comes by way of those very, very violent actions, that child is not responsible for the action. And that child, nonetheless, is made in the image and likeness of God. And I've often said that a child that is conceived in that way is a testimony to Romans 8:28, where God says, you know, where St. Paul writes that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. When we look at that little word, three-letter word, all, A-L-L, we realize that nothing is excluded from that word all. All is all-encompassing. And so though rape and incest in themselves isn't evil, God works a good out of that evil. And the good that he works is a human person created in his image and likeness. And so we add and heap upon that violent action another violent act to in some way eradicate that first violent action. That is nonsensical. It's weak logic, and it certainly is sinful. So I agree with you. When we see, you know, that there are laws that are being put into effect that are against the teachings of Almighty God, we have to stand in protest to that. And of course, the best way that we protest is through our vote. So there you go. Now on to psychics. Okay. So psychics.
May I just one second?
Sure.
I think, and I don't want you to answer it if you want to say something, but the Mother Mary, she said a lot. And she is our guide for this, wherever we're at right now. But she said, when the USA accepts abortion, then we know it's the end. But I just wanted to tell you that, okay?
Yes.
But to look at her, what she says and everything is, I can't imagine life without her right now.
Well, neither can I, Penny, and I don't want to, and God doesn't intend for us to do so. So we stand together on that. Yeah, and you're talking here about private revelation. And, the fact of the matter is, one of the reasons why I think that we have the situations that we have in our world today is because, you know, we're under a cloud, and we're under an oppressive spirit. And that oppressive spirit comes by way of some of the laws that we've made. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we take ourselves outside of the blessing of God when we act in ways that are in opposition to the will of God. So there, you know, I totally agree. Abortion has not been helpful for this country or any country where abortion is the law of the land. So, but onto the psychics now. And so why is it wrong? Well, you know, first of all, you know, AI is technology. And, you know, I kind of go back to what Pope John Paul II, now Saint, tells us. And he states over and over again, the technology is really neutral. It's what we do with the technology. And of course, we see that in reference to the internet. The internet in and of itself is neutral. It's used for a whole lot of good. All of our Catholic media outlets have internet sites, and there's great good that comes. The internet can be used for great good. But we also know that it's used for great evil. We know that pornography, for example, and the and the proliferation of untruth is also part of that technology. And I think it's the same with AI. I think that there are some benefits to AI. I think that we have to guide, we have to have an ethos and an ethic that's put in place that guides us with the use of all technology. Unfortunately, in our world today, you know, when we're living, as a culture, as a society, more outside of the law of God than inside of the law of God, we run the risk of using technology for purposes that would be outside of the will of God. So that's a clarification, you know, that I wanted to make. With regard to psychics, however, this business of foretelling the future, this business of, trying to get in touch with our deceased relatives and friends, all of that is abhorrent to God. It's an abomination. That's what God calls it. He calls it an abomination. You can look that up. He says it in several places. He says it in Deuteronomy, for example. He warns us against it. And we see it in the Psalms. I was reading a psalm the other day, and I wish that I could remember the exact number of the psalm. But I remember I read it to Jack, and I said, golly, I never really realized that this was in this psalm. Or it could have been in Isaiah, though. I'll have to find it. But nonetheless, talking against sorcery, talking against fortune tellers, talking about how this ruins, our accord with God, because it's an abomination. And why is that? Because it's a sin against the first commandment. Now, the first commandment tells us that we shall have no false gods before us. And here we're putting the psychic in the place of God. We're not going to God, with our needs and our wants. We're going to psychics to help us solve our problems or to assuage our grief after the loss of someone. No, we go to God. We call upon Him. We call upon His grace. We call upon His mercy. So the other side of that is that, number one, a lot of people who call themselves psychics are really charlatans. They are not individuals who have, any kind of consort with the means by which you would obtain that information. And the means by which the information is obtained, when that is accurate information, is through, it comes by way of a demon. Because the demon uses that means to communicate these things to the psychic, who then communicates them to the person. Oftentimes, these psychics will call will say that they're consorting with saints, or they're consorting with angels. They'll even say they're consorting with the Blessed Mother. They'll say they're consorting with Jesus. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie, because the saints and the angels and our Blessed Lady, and certainly the second person of the Blessed Trinity made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, are not going to use the very means that are an abomination to God to communicate things. They're not going to do that. So the only way in which that information is obtained is through the demon, unless, of course, the psychic is a charlatan and has done some kind of, investigating about the person who's coming to see them. Then, of course, they would do that. But in most cases, if the person is truly exercising, some kind of a power, that power is coming from a demon who is inciting into their minds these things. And know this, the demon really is only going on what the demon has observed in the lives of the persons that he's going to interface with through the psychic. The demons are very, very good observers. They know what we like. They know what we dislike. They hear what we say, but they can't read our mind, and they cannot read our soul. So through their very clever powers of observation, which are far greater than our powers of observation, and through the use of their now twisted preternatural gifts that were given to them by God Himself, but now corrupted because of their movement away from Him, they have capacities that are far beyond ours. So psychics, are on the negative list of individuals and psychic readings, et cetera, on the negative list of things that we want to involve ourselves with, because we are opening up a doorway. We're opening up a doorway to the demonic. I heard one exorcist talk about it and use this analogy. He said, let's suppose that you're very wealthy and you own several homes, right? But you've never been inside of some of those homes. You've never visited them. You own them, but you've never gone there. Well, it's kind of like that with individuals that consort with the demonic and get themselves involved in the occult. They're owned by Satan. He doesn't always go to that home. He doesn't always manifest himself in that person or through that person. But he can anytime he wants, because he owns it, just like the very wealthy person owns all those homes that he's never visited. And that, to me, is probably the very best analogy of why it is that for a period of time, people involved in these things experience no fallout. But eventually they will. Eventually they will, because the evil ones are so proud, they want to be known. And they cannot remain in the shadow much longer, because their pride forces them into the open. And the person begins to experience the very, very harmful spiritual realities of the activities that they have been engaged in. So I hope that helps you, Penny. Just stay away from it. If you've been involved, I want to encourage you to get to confession as soon as possible, to repent of the sin. Ask the priest to walk you through, a renouncement, a repentance, and a rejection of the spirit that you've been involved with. You don't want to be tied up underneath their oppression any longer. You want to be freed of that. The fact that there hasn't been something that, you know, has made its presence known at this point in time doesn't mean that it can't. So we want to stay far, far away from all of those things. Psychics, tarot card reading, modalities and therapies such as Reiki, healing touch. Stay away from yoga. Stay away from all of these things. Because at some point in time, you can find yourself in serious spiritual trouble. Well, I hate to end on that note, but it's an important one. We want to follow in the footsteps of the one that called Simon and Andrew and John and James, right? We want to follow in his footsteps and go in no other direction but the direction in which he leads us. Friends, it's been great being with you. We're going to be back with you tomorrow. Speaking of psychics, tomorrow is Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman's going to be with us. It'll be a wacky Wednesday for sure right here on Women of Grace Live. So we invite you to join us then. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Take advantage of all of the opportunities there. And I hope to see you in North Palm Beach, Florida at our Women of Grace Immersive. Bye-bye now.